Hey everyone, I know it's spring, but it's never too early to think about harvest. Gearinghoff is head of the class no matter the crop, making premium harvesting heads for all your harvesting needs. Check them out at gearinghoff.com.
I said, am I a GMO now? And he was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, a genetically modified organism. Am I a GMO? And he was like, I have not thought of it that way, but yeah, kind of. Yeah.
There is a podcast in Iowa, Farm for Profit was named by the. They stirred up a banker near, then quick came an auctioneer. Making profit was their first goal, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Soon may the farmers come to bring us guests and beer and fun. One day when the recording's done, we'll take our mics and go. These formats shook us to our core, with Farm for Fun you will not snore. Banker set all mics to on, and the mullet of podcasts was born. Soon may the farmers come to bring us guests and beer and fun. One day when the recording's done, we'll take our mics and go. Before we knew, conversations grew, growing corn even said F you. So won't you join Tenor Dave, Corey, and crew? Please like, share, review. Soon may the farmers come to bring us guests and beer and fun. One day when the recording's done, we'll take our mics and go.
Hey, listeners, welcome back to the Farm for Profit podcast. This is Tanner Winterhoff.
I'm Corey Hillebo.
Damn it. Who typed the question mark on the teleprompter? You don't even have a teleprompter.
Wait, who's this?
Oh, not David.
Not David?
Elizabeth Burns Thompson.
Oh, well, David's on vacation. And he's missing out on probably some beverages that he would enjoy himself.
Yeah, these are up his alley, and they're dang good, and made right here in Des Moines.
Right here in Des Moines. We are the Farm for Profit podcast. You are here listening to us, listening to a Farm for Fun episode. This is where we focus on a person, where our Farm for Profit shows focus on a topic. So two different formats, still delivering great value and hopefully entertainment to your ears every time.
And as always, we love reading your reviews. Keep reviewing it. farmforprofitllc@gmail.com. Also leave us a voicemail or a text at 515-207-9640, and you can do that on all the streaming platforms as well. Today's is sponsored by Ag Leader. Cab to cab, season to season, they're all over the place for your steering, harvesting, planting, efficiency.
So do you have Ag Leader in everything on your farm? Do you plant with Ag Leader?
Yeah.
Do you harvest with Ag Leader?
I do.
Do you spray with Ag Leader?
Yes.
So from start to finish to middle, because I went out of order, you do everything with Ag Leader.
And now they help me find the right spot.
They do with the right spot,
time,
spray,
time
technology.
Old question of trying to find the right spot. That's what we do there. So
they have all the tools.
Yeah.
To help you farm more efficiently and more profitably.
And based right out of the heart of the Midwest, right here, yeah. 8 miles from us.
The best I state.
So what do we got? What do we got for review today?
We have a text message coming in from area code 712. Dude, Hayes Family Succession Planning was killer. One of the best podcasts I had ever listened to. I look forward to more from part two. Keep up the great work, my friend.
All right, you're done reading the text messages.
Do you want to read it?
You got to be like, dude.
Dude.
Dude. That's how that reads. You don't say dude in a banker tone.
Well, that's why you should leave us voicemails, because text message leaves just too much up to interpretation.
Yeah.
Well, yep. It sounds like they set the bar pretty high with that one, but I think the one we got coming up will set it even higher.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Today's show, oh my gosh. EBT, this is an old friend of yours.
It is. Yeah. Brooke and I have known each other for, I don't even want to admit how long, because that's, women don't admit their age.
Well, we could do the math backwards, but that would still be way too much work. It's been long enough.
Yes.
And this was a happy accident.
Yeah.
Having EBT here with Brooke. So an extra value added to this show, and definitely one that you want to listen to all the way through the last minute. I know that sounds like it's coming from a podcast host wanting you to listen to the whole show through the last minute. But this is one, if you have to start and stop, come back to it and go all the way through the end.
I mean, here's the deal. We don't care. If you listen to it for 1 minute or an hour, we get the same download. But this is one you want to listen.
Yep.
All the way. It's deep. All the way through. Great experience. Great podcast. It was awesome.
It should walk away with a new perspective.
Mm-hmm. So let's get to it.
Here we go.
Daddy, did you know 1 out of 10 people in North America works in the agricultural industry?
You're right, Gabby. With the global population expected to increase to 10 billion by 2050, the demand for sustainable food sources will become even more important than ever before. The agricultural industry employs people in a wide range of professions, including accountants, engineers, farmhands, IT specialists, technicians, salespeople, truck drivers, even podcast hosts, and much, much more.
Daddy, your listeners, next career can help put food on the table for people around the globe.
You're right, Gabby. If they go to agcareers.com, that will connect job seekers with employers in the agricultural industry with more than 4,000 jobs posted every month. Agcareers.com, that is agcareers.com, can help you find your next career. Set up your free job seeker account and apply for jobs today. Or, if you're looking for employees, get started today by posting your first job for only $150 when you use the code FARM4PROFIT to save. That is FARM, the number 4, PROFIT. Your next opportunity awaits at agcareers.com. All right, Corey, what about introducing our awesome guest for the day?
I'm ready. It's a little hot. Today on the Farm for Fun show, we head south to meet with a very inspirational woman. She's a 2-time business owner, fighting the fight of her life with cancer while raising her young family, and also has the Rural Gone Urban Foundation. Let's get to know and send all the good vibes to at Rural Gone Urban, Mrs. Brooke Taylor.
All right.
Hey, that was a nice intro.
Thank you. What is up? What is up? And she just popped a bottle of champagne, it looks like. So, man, we're going to have a good time.
Some of Oregon's finest from a girls' trip last year. I'm not messing around with you guys. You said bring the fun. So here I am.
That's right. All the fun.
And we have Elizabeth here, who we introduced earlier.
Yeah.
Just randomly dropped by, and you two know each other.
Gosh,
this is awesome.
How long have we known each other? We don't need to say. It'll age us.
Yes.
But a very long time.
Yes.
Very long time.
We talk about Iowa as a small place, but agriculture is even smaller, so.
Yes.
All right, Brooke, I gave you a little synopsis of who you are, but that is not just who you are. Who are you? Where are you from? And what do you got going?
Sure. So I am from rural Oklahoma. I grew up in the ag industry. Your classic ag girl. Professionally, I'm an ag communicator. I'm a strategic communicator for food and ag organizations. And I just launched a really cool foundation. It's empowering strong women who are doing really brave things. And that's pretty much it. I love traveling and I love being a mom to a crazy almost 3-year-old. Just living a vanilla boring life. No big deal.
So vanilla boring.
So my first experience, the reason so many people have found you, but I found you because you shared one of my TikToks on Instagram. And I remember it was like a year or two ago, just kind of messaging back and forth. And I started following you and learning about your journey. And you've just been inspirational. Purely,
and I
want to get into that first because you're fighting the fight of your life with cancer. How's that going?
I allegedly have stage 4 breast cancer, which is a little shocking when you're only 35 years old. So I thought I kicked cancer to the curb. I did the entire cancer treatment buffet. I was diagnosed the day my daughter was born, which was huge plot twist. And I gave it hell and it was gone for 2 years. I started my business again. I started traveling. I upped my client roster. And then in March of this year, just knocked me over the head like a bat. And that's where I am now, just juggling. And I use air quotes on this one because I don't really like this word, but fighting cancer and telling it what's up, all while launching a foundation.
So you said in March, hit you over the head like a bat.
Yeah.
Was this a routine visit or did you have some more symptoms?
So I actually spoke at a women's conference in Kansas, and on the way home, people started tagging me from speaking on stage. And I was, And I was seeing these pictures, and I was like, holy cow, I look like a tick who just ate and ate for, like, what's wrong with me? I look like Violet from Willy Wonka. I was like, that is cannot be what I look like. And I just kind of gained, like, a significant amount of weight in, like, a month. And I went to the doctor. I said, something is broken. I don't know what it is, but something is broken. I don't figure it out. So they ran the gamut of tests. And that is where I learned that even though when I went through cancer during round one, they told me I had a complete response to chemo. There was no residual cancer anywhere in the amputation of the double mastectomy, that this time I'd come back and it was in my pelvis, my lungs, my spine, my my clavicle, my neck. It was pretty much everywhere. I looked like I'd just been sprayed by a shotgun shell. So it just kind of just showed up. There wasn't really a reason after 2 years of just, you know, letting my hair grow back out.
Right.
Oh, I can't imagine. I can't imagine. Yeah. Anything. I can't imagine the first diagnosis.
Yeah.
And then saying it's gone and then coming back. Oh my gosh.
And like statistically, it didn't make sense that it came back at all. I remember my oncologist, he called me at like 6 o'clock on a Friday night. And I was like, I knew the second I saw his name pop up on my phone. I was like, oh crap. Like I'm a goner. I have triple negative breast cancer, which means it's not driven by hormones. It's pretty aggressive and very significant to younger women. And the odds are not good when it comes back. Statistically, if you were to spend some time on the internet doing any type of Google search, it's going to tell you the average once you receive that metastatic diagnosis is 13 months. And when you have a 2-year-old looking at you, that's not a lot of time. No. That's not a lot of time. So I'm very fortunate, though, that I have a little bit of celebrating. And I don't know if you guys are ready for the celebrating, but I haven't told anyone this yet.
Oh, we'll celebrate right alongside. Absolutely.
Okay. So the day I was re-diagnosed, actually, a new drug was approved for my type of situation. And that is, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, I am the not proud carrier of the BRCA1 gene mutation. And there was a drug that was diagnosed that was released the day I was re-diagnosed specifically for that gene mutation. And I have been taking that drug for 3 months. And I had a PET scan this week. And I still have not talked to my doctor, but I've read the report probably no less than 700 times. I think I haven't memorized at this point. And they can't find it.
What?
What?
I'm going to cry. I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that is awesome.
Like, I went from lighting up like a Christmas tree on the scan to, you know, when you get out the Christmas decorations and you plug in the lights and then they don't turn on.
Yeah.
That was kind of my scan like yesterday.
Oh my.
So there are still some like places that were too small for them to know if it is or isn't on the scan, in my lungs, but it's not, the report says it's not there.
Wow.
Well, so, I hope everyone is raising a glass right now because that's good news, not only for this room, but I think you've been an inspiration for a lot of cheers. Folks out there. So I think we'll all raise a glass in here and hopefully drink everyone that's listening.
Drink to
cheers to that. So I'm not a radiologist, but it's very, I mean, the words are in black and white. I don't know if this means for today, but when you're a mom and you're looking at this baby who's talking about how, what she wants a chocolate cake for her birthday. She just wants a chocolate cake and she wants to sing Jingle Bells. And when you have a 2-year-old and all you can think about is birthdays, every birthday I get to have with her is one birthday closer that she might remember me if I'm not here. And so even if this is temporary, doesn't matter.
It's a win.
Like, it's a win. It's a huge win. So thanks for celebrating with me. Cheers. I'm just going to keep drinking my champagne.
Drink away. Absolutely.
I'm just trying to think as a parent and of two young daughters, and Tanner has two young daughters as well. And you're just emotions going through that diagnosis and living that way. I mean, literally like living the song, living like you were dying.
So we've all seen the Golden Girls, and you know that they just like give no ducks. That I've kind of always been that way, if we're being honest. Yeah. Elizabeth's smiling. She knows. I just kind of do what I want. But that's even more so now. And it's so important to me that I only work with good clients and I only spend time with people who are going to cheer for me and support me. And I only do things that are going to be a positive impact for my family. And so I've been on the road for the past month, just trying to make as many memories with my child as possible, because 13 months is not a lot of months. And I was really fortunate to go to New York recently to celebrate. My baby cousin graduated from college. And so we had gone to New York when she graduated high school. So we made a return trip. And while we were there, we went to a very nice jewelry store, and I picked out gifts for my two-year-old. And they're not gifts for today, but we picked out her high school graduation present and her college graduation and her wedding present and her first baby present. And I really, really, really hope that Big Pharma and science say that I get to be here to give them to her myself. But if not, and if this win is temporary, then on those days, she will have presents that we picked out together. And although maybe a piece of me will get to be there with her.
Wow. That's it's deep.
So one thing I will say, having had the privilege of knowing Brooke for a number of years now, she has a perspective on the world that even prior to this life experience was unlike most. She was a glass half full. I'd say a glass three quarters full or always full, maybe, if there was such a thing, even prior to all of these experiences. And it takes a lot to carry that through, you know, what you have experienced thus far, but then also allowing that to amplify even further and utilizing that to support others. And I think that's what you're doing really with this foundation that you've just created.
Yes. So in March, when cancer made its brutal return, all I could think about is, selfishly, what is the legacy that I'm going to leave for my daughter? How will she know what I believe in to my core? And for me, my biggest thing is love and cheerleading without an asterisk. Like, we just support people, period. And that's how I've lived. That's how I've lived my whole life. Like, that's just my favorite thing to do, is to cheer people, because like, there is never harm in cutting someone else down at the knees. Like, we're all better together, period. Hard stop. And so all I could think about when I was surrounded by this ginormous family and all of these incredible friends, and I've lived all over the country through my 20s. And so I have friend groups kind of just all in different time zones. And all I could think about were the women who didn't have that community and how lonely it would be and how scary it would be to walk through that diagnosis and not have all of those people. And so I pulled my network close together and I said, I have a crazy idea. What if we take my business name, which is Rural Gone Urban, and what if we launch a foundation and we support people without an asterisk? We don't ask questions. We just say, hey, we believe in you too. And if you don't have a community, we can be that for you. And so we're in the phase right now of building a foundation from scratch isn't easy. I'm learning the hard way, but I have a really great board, and the foundation has three pillars. And the first is scholarships for B and C students. So I don't know about you guys, but like, B and C students are pretty awesome too. I mean, I was told I shouldn't even go to college because to be honest, I fell asleep during the ACT, which my bad. But then I went to college and I had a great time. I spent way too many days down at the Penny. on the strip. But then I also was the homecoming queen because I just like thrived once I got there, and that was pretty awesome. And then I launched a business from scratch, and that takes balls to launch a business. Absolutely. You guys know that. Like, you spend Friday nights reading like IRS.gov, and could you imagine if someone gave you just a no questions asked grant and said, do whatever you need to do for your business? It would be game changing.
I'm already thinking of how I could spend it.
Yeah. Right? Game changing. And then, of course, the third is it's for women who are like me fighting cancer and don't have the support or the finances to do the things in the middle, the gap. Yeah, there's insurance. That's great. It pays for the things to keep you alive. But what about the legacy that you're leaving? What about printing all the 40,000 photos on your phone so that when your phone becomes outdated and no longer charges, your toddlers have pictures of you so they can remember you?
Wow. That's things you wouldn't think about.
Well, you don't think about it until you're put in a position of perspective.
Like Brooke. And what if your photo, like how many photos do you have on your phone with your children? And now what if you just left and they never got those photos? Like how would they know you? How would they know your face?
And all the photos you probably want to go through and take out of there.
Yeah, delete. Like we all have screenshots on our phones that we've sent to group chats and delete. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
That one should not have got printed out at Walmart.
Delete that one. It's not a good one.
Yeah, we don't need them to see all sides.
No. Curate that memory you're leaving behind. So the foundation, oh my gosh, I cannot believe that the people who are on the board said yes. But honestly, how could they look someone in the eyes who's battling stage 4 breast cancer and say no? So they kind of had to, for being honest. I love them dearly, all of them. And they all bring something different and unique and supporting of one of the three pillars. So we are currently in the structure process of, you know, we need to give out scholarship monies, but we need infrastructure to make sure that we are, oh no, I lost an earbud. You know, we need to put structures in place to make sure that we are being efficient with the application process, and we're raising money because we have to make money before we can give it away.
Right.
So that's what we're doing now. And it's so much fun. And it's just, well, okay. For my career, I've written for everyone else's brands my entire career. I worked for corporate advertising agencies working for food and ag organizations at the national and international level. And then I launched my own business and I was still working for other people's brands. And now this, the Rural Gone Urban Foundation, I get to ride for my own brand and build this community of people that's doing something very purposeful. And how, gosh, what a silver lining to a really sucky season.
Absolutely. And there aren't very many people that could have the same perspective that you do. You're powering through this, at least from what you share, which you take pride in. No filter. There's nothing being held back.
No filter. So I'll tell you, it's not all sunshine and roses. I worry sometimes that people see what I put on social media and maybe I share too much highlight, because you know what? Going to Disney World with your family, awesome. I also puked in Toy Story Land, so that was very unawesome. You know, we went on a cruise and we were in the Bahamas. Awesome. I was also swimming. My husband said I looked like the Unabomber. I was swimming in a Columbia hoodie because my medication makes me allergic to the sun, as I learned in Toy Story Land. So very unawesome. But I try to, I think Elizabeth could attest to this. Like, I'm just real. Like, I'm going to talk to this. This is just who I am. So a lot of people ask, how do you do this? Well, I'm doing the same thing you guys would do. You don't really have a choice. Like, what am I supposed to do? Honestly, this huge win that we're celebrating, it's a win today. It could turn on me next week. Like, my body just woke up one day and chose violence. That sucks donkey balls. The only thing trying to take me down is my own body. Like, what is that kind of plot twist? Yeah, who would have thought that one?
You literally said, I'm going to build up everyone. And then your body says, nope, F you.
Everybody just except kidding. You.
Just kidding. And it's literally, okay, so when you get cancer, people come out of the woodwork giving you advice. That's super cute. Mine is my actual DNA trying to take me down. So I just don't think essential oils are going to fix that one, you know?
Right.
cool, Dad. Thanks for that bracket gene. But how cool is science that there is this drug now that is specifically attacking me, well, in a good way, on the cellular level? So I asked my oncologist, you're going to love this. Love this. I said, am I a GMO now? And he was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I was like, a genetically modified organism. Am I a GMO? And he was like, I have not thought of it that way, but yeah, kind of. Yeah. So guys, I cost extra now.
Yes.
You should be a swag brand.
I'm special. Yeah, I am a GMO.
That's your next t-shirt. I am a GMO.
You guys don't want to
I am a GMO. Yeah, 100%. Oh my gosh, how much? Okay, my t-shirt shop. Let's talk about it.
Listeners, are you looking for precision ag technology to level up the farm equipment that you already know and love? Ag Leader offers the complete package of year-round precision farming tools that can be used across different colored machinery to help you steer it, plant it, apply it, harvest it, and manage it more efficiently and profitably. For every farm and every field activity, Ag Leader it. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com for more information.
Yes! Cheers!
Dahl Distributing dropped off some beverages for us today. What do we have to try?
This is from Exile, so that's in Des Moines. Old RJ Tersey down there. This is a pineapple vodka soda.
Pineapple vodka soda. So we get to try different drinks when we do these farm fun shows. Sometimes they are absolutely disgusting. Sometimes there are new favorites.
That's too good.
So what flavor? What you said?
It's pineapple vodka soda. That's way too good. It's dangerously good.
Oh wow!
It's 5% alcohol, and it's like you're drinking water with a little bit of pineapple.
Yeah.
If you close your eyes and imagine you're on the lake.
Yes.
Can I get that in Oklahoma? That sounds delicious.
Yeah, we might have to ship it to you.
Next
time Kristen comes down, we'll ship a case down with.
I need her to come down. Let me tell you, I went on vacation for 3 weeks, and I came back, and my garden looks like a jungle.
That is really good.
That is good.
That as I said, sometimes we discover new favorites, and that might have been
99 calories, 3 grams of carbs.
Oh, there you go.
That's good.
It offsets the piece of pie you just ate. It was not 99 calories.
Kinda.
You know what?
Elizabeth, ruining my diet.
All right, back to it. T-shirt shop. I cut you off.
So last year, to the opposition of my accountant, I was like, I'm going to launch a t-shirt shop. Other people are doing it. It can't be that hard. I had no idea what I was doing. Have you guys, you just launch a t-shirt shop. Anyway, it was a challenge for me. That's always been fun. And I was working on, writing for my own brand. So I launched this t-shirt shop. And then a year later, my cancer comes back. And I'm sitting in my oncologist's office. And he said, how are you feeling? And I just started the new medicine. And I said, well, to be honest, I feel like donkey balls. Yeah. And he said, you should put that on a t-shirt. And I said, okay, I have a t-shirt shop. So great. So right that moment, he closed down all of his medical tabs and pulled up my t-shirt shop. And he was like, you do have a t-shirt shop. I for sure made the t-shirt, and it is now my top selling t-shirt.
I need to get one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's very failing donkey balls. But I'm probably fine though. You're probably fine.
Your new top one is going to be, I am a GMO.
Yeah.
I am a GMO. I'm for sure making that.
Yeah.
He will love it. He will love it. So the way that this drug works, I'm going to totally butcher this because I'm not a scientist, but basically it is attacking my cells and where the BRCA gene mutates. It's like taking it out like a Marvel movie.
Wow.
So it's every single one of my cells as opposed to just cancer cells.
So is this drug approved or is it still in the process of?
Oh yeah. So it literally got approved for my situation on March 11th of this year.
Wow. That's good. Cause you always hear about the big pharma, doesn't want cancer to go away. Right. That crowd. And you just get scared about that stuff. Are they actually making improvements on this? And that sounds like they are.
Right. I think they're, so here's where I am. about Big Pharma. So I'm going to go there. The amount of messages I've received about take dog dewormer because it'll cure you. Who do you think makes dog dewormer? Big Pharma. Yeah. Like, it's just ag pharma. Like, that doesn't even, the math doesn't math there, guys. That's also pharma. I think what people potentially misunderstand about cancer in general is that, okay, let's break it down. If we were just to talk about breast cancer, which affects 1 in 8 women, that's a lot. That's mm-hmm. a lot of women. So if you think of breast cancer, that's just saying like one sport under the all of sports umbrella. So let's say we're just talking about football. So then I have triple negative breast cancer, and that's just like one league.
Okay.
And then under that, it's where it started in the breast. Now you're got down to a specific team, and then you keep going down and down and down. And so, and now you're talking about like third string of a team, of a league, of a sport, of all sports. That's a lot of different type of cancers to cure.
Yeah.
Like it's not just cancer. So I think it would be unfair to say that scientists and doctors aren't trying to cure. Cause like if someone said that about my oncologist, I would think they were crazy. He would move heaven and earth to fix me.
That's good perspective. It's hard to visualize, and that was a good visualization of it.
Yeah. Brooke, did I not tell you that Brooke has a way with words?
You did say that.
I literally said those words.
I mean, she's a public speaker, so I would hope that.
Oh, yeah. A new public speaker. Do you guys speak in public? It is terrifying.
We speak behind the comfort of microphones.
Yeah.
In a closed studio. Yeah,
you're like the great and powerful Oz. Speaking out in front of people, my gosh, I just don't know if there's anything scarier in this world besides, you know, fighting cancer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I'm a newbie on the stage. I do have a speaking gig at the beginning of August. And when I said I agreed to it, I said, if you're looking for a public speaker, I'm not your girl. But if you're looking for someone who might stutter a little bit and bring the real and bring very inappropriate jokes, then absolutely who you should hire. And they said yes. So we'll see.
Yeah, we have not. I've been on for a couple of our own conferences. I've been on stage and given a 20-25 minute presentation. Otherwise, no, we perform in the comfortable confines of our studio.
I did stuff in college, maybe a couple like FFA things and that. And I actually enjoyed it. I have no desire to do it now. Last winter I got asked if I wanted to come do like a comedy
routine.
And I'm like, that's not even talking. Now you want me to do jokes? I mean,
jokes.
Okay.
Oh, I would love to be there for that.
Yeah.
So I built my career on being behind the curtain for all kinds of brands. Really big ones, really fun ones, really some boring ones too. But then all of a sudden you step out, you know, cancer really pushed me to the forefront and was like, well, I guess now or never, like literally now or never. And so when I just started talking for myself and people were like, oh, you're really funny. It's like, what? Me?
Yeah.
God, I didn't even know that was my love language, but it is. It is. Tell me I'm pretty and give me some champagne and we're here. So
there you go. And that's exactly how we started the pre-show rundown.
Yep.
We told her how good she looked and how great she sounded. And go get that bottle of champagne.
Thank you. Good. Don't forget to tell me that my hair looks great. I grew it from scratch.
It does look
good. Do you know what I don't look good at? A potato head. No one does. No one does. I've tried it out. The Mr. Clean look is not for me. I prefer not to do that again. I will if I have to, but I'd like to not ever again.
Absolutely. So when I try to do some show prep on each guest, but obviously I had followed you for quite some time, and we keep coming back to this word perspective. I mean, if we were to throw a drinking game together for today, it would not have been the word perspective. You might have people passed out before the show's even done. But you have, and I can't remember now if it was from your Instagram or if it was from your website, but you say perspective is key when living intentionally.
Yeah. When you are thinking about purchasing a piece of land that will become your grave site, life kind of gives you a big dose of perspective. And God, there's a lot of stuff that we do every day. Doesn't freaking matter. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It just doesn't. And I wish that I could give that perspective to everyone. It's kind of like how we waste our good years on our teenage years, right? And then we are like 65 and retired, and then we are all broken and have arthritis.
Yep.
I wish we could have perspective at 13, but that's just not the way that it works. And I do have it earlier than other people. And I just think that this sounds so cliche. I don't care. I wish that we could all live every day and know that, gosh, it doesn't matter. Quit that job. Your boss doesn't care about you. You're going to get cancer someday. Maybe not. I'm not saying everyone is, but like, what if you do? Your boss doesn't care. No. They aren't going to follow you on Instagram. They're not going to call you. They're not going to send you a card. Use your vacation days. You're not going to remember sitting in your cubicle, but you are going to remember like dancing on the bar in San Antonio. You're going to remember that.
Yeah.
And so do the stuff that matters. And gosh, everyone has an excuse for everything. But let me tell you, plane tickets, well, right now they're pretty expensive. Maybe they'll cool down. But like, what can you give up to do something you really care about? It's all about perspective. You know, in my 20s, I'm really, really proud of myself that I did not wait until I was 32 and staring down the gun barrel of a cancer diagnosis to be like, oh, well, I should start living like a Tim McGraw song. Yeah. I was already doing that stuff. And I was already cashing in plane tickets and using points and figuring out ways to do the stuff that was fun and mattered and doing the hard stuff and saying no to stuff that was just stupid. And I wish I could say that prettier and put a bow on it for everyone, but like, just do it today. If you're looking for permission, I am telling you that if you something scary were to happen, it feels like walking the plank every day. And if you jump off the plank, it might be a really beautiful blue lagoon, but it also could be filled with sharks. That's not the time to start living, because you don't know if you get to plan the trip to Italy. Plan it while you still know for sure you have a future, because you will not regret thinking about those days and having those memories. Because I spent the year before I got cancer, I went on a 2-week tour of Europe with my really good friend, Lindsay. And I can tell you that on those days where I was in the fetal position in a bald head, just wishing I could fall asleep and the pain would stop for a little bit, I would close my eyes and I would think about drinking that fruity drink on that private beach in Nice. And I did not regret taking that trip instead of sitting in a cubicle.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you've been doing that recently also. You guys just back. You just got back from a really kick-ass
trip. I did.
Trip.
I took the kid we took the kid to meet Mickey Mouse, and she said, Mama, he's real. Yes, he's real. I definitely did lose my cookies in Toy Story Land, and I figured I could puke just as easily in Disney as I can in my own home bathroom. Yeah. So why not take the trip? Turns out I'm allergic to heat. Don't recommend. That doesn't really... So I don't know how it's going to work in summer in Oklahoma. Yeah. I guess I'm just live inside now. Maybe I'm nocturnal. But yeah, I'm just saying yes for as long as my doctors will continue to let me say yes.
That's great.
I'll tell you, the first go around with cancer, I was like, I have to be the perfect cancer student. Like if I could get an A, then maybe I would beat cancer and cancer wouldn't come back. I thought that was my strategy. Now I'm like, no, this is dumb. So I'll text my oncologist. I'll be like, I can't come in on Friday. I have to go to New York. Sorry. Can I come in next week? And it's just a different perspective of it is a partnership with your doctors. You don't just have to be a perfect student, because the truth is it doesn't matter if I'm a good student or a bad student. Like, this isn't my fault. Mm-hmm. It's not my fault that my cells want to kill me. And so I'm just going to keep living the same way I've always lived and, you know, be a little rule breaker every now and then.
So I was going to bridge in from that. You know, you talked about kind of the support system, obviously having a very real, which is definitely a trademark Brooke word. But talk to me even more about your support system, and, you know, sometimes other aspects of life don't go initially as we had planned and we get second chances at things, and i.e. your husband. I was hinting at your support system, because that is a very cute fairy tale story.
Elizabeth knew me when I had my mulligan marriage, in my 20s, I was married to a tall, dark, and handsome human who was not the right fit. I'll cut this story quick and tell you that it ended with my dad showing up and packing all of my stuff in my cute little East Nashville bungalow and moving me home to live in the apartment in the horse trailer on my family's ranch. So you could tell that that went from like Hallmark to Lifetime real quick.
Yeah.
But what happened was my husband and I got married, my now husband, my favorite husband, and we've known each other since sixth grade. And when I tell you that I would not be alive today if it wasn't for that caretaker, like he was just the right guy. Like, you'll appreciate this. So after my biopsy, before I knew that I had cancer, it wasn't like a, it was like wound care. And I was like, oh no, I don't know what to do. I never had a stitch in my life. I've never been sick. And all of a sudden I'm like, have this wound. And he was like, oh, I have a first aid kit in my hunting pack. I was exactly where I needed to be. And I was like, sure enough, there you are. There you are. I'm just, in just his, your hunting pack.
His hunting pack. At least it wasn't from the farrowing barn or so. Right? Just going to spray some iodine on and we'll get it cleaned
My husband is like the quietest human. He never talks, especially if I have my phone or my camera on. People of Instagram think that he never smiles. The truth is he's always smiling and always laughing. And he thinks it is so funny that the people online don't think that he ever smiles. It's become his thing. But he came along for the real, real ride for me. I just decided when you get a scary diagnosis, I think it's just our instinct now, especially in 2022. We get on the internet and we start searching for anyone who's walked this path before us and is still alive. And what I found was there weren't a lot of people. And so I thought, well, I can be that person. I can be funny and bald and I can show my bald head. If everyone else is embarrassed by their bald head, like, I don't care. I don't have anything to prove. I seriously, guys, I looked bad. There were no wrinkles on my face because I was so swollen. I had no neck. I could see like my cheeks by just looking just out of my eyes. The steroids, they did me dirty, man. They did me dirty. The movies are all like, you get cancer and you get skinny. Liars. Liars. Like, that is BS. I looked like, I already said this one, but it is true. Violet from Willy Wonka just blew up like a blueberry. But that's where the real came in. And then that's where all the followers came. I think people found it refreshing. That was like, honestly, this sucks.
Right.
And they're like, yeah, it does suck. It does. This isn't a good time. No one's having a good time here. And so that's, I started the real. That's kind of where I still am. And that sometimes life isn't all rainbows and unicorns. Sometimes it just really sucks donkey balls, but it can still be good. You know, I go to the oncologist, and people still get excited that I walk through the door. Like, I'm like the mayor. They're like, hi, Brooke, how are you today? Your hair looks so great. I'm like, they don't do that for everyone. And that's because every time I step foot in that office, I think, listen, I don't want to be here. This isn't going to be a good time. But I can maybe have fun doing it while I'm here, period. Right. And how can you imagine being an oncologist or an oncology nurse? How sad. Oh. Every day people are dying. You're not bringing life into the world like you're trying to keep people from leaving. And how refreshing would it be if someone, you know, made you smile? So.
Well, that's why you're memorable. You're probably definitely in the minority.
It's all about perspective.
Instances. It is.
Perspective and drink.
And drink.
Cheers to that.
Let's do that. Let's take another drink from Doll Distributing. Another Exile vodka soda.
Yeah, it's a tropical vodka soda this time. So let's give it a try. These are clear like White Claws.
But they do not taste sugary like White Claws.
No.
I can attest you guys all have, you know, happy looking faces while drinking this.
Yeah.
It looks like you're enjoying yourself sitting on the beach.
She can tell I'm happy.
That is a testament.
Yeah.
It tastes like the Bahamas. That's why I've not been, but I can assume it tastes like being on a beach.
Very blue. Very blue.
I think Dave's going to be mad that he missed this one too, because he doesn't like beer normally, but he probably would like these.
Man. Those are both really good.
Yeah. Probably going to be on the buy list.
Yeah, they will.
Buy or cry. Buy that one.
Absolutely. So, more about what you're doing professionally.
Yes.
Because
ask me. Yeah, I love it.
Because you, like I said, you got this diagnosis, but you also launched, what was it, an online course? A training session?
Yeah.
What'd you launch?
Okay, so let's talk about all of the things. So professionally, I launched Rural Gone Urban as a consultant. So I worked on a TV show as an ag expert, which meant that anytime we were filming at a farm or a ranch, that it was being accurately depicted. I work with...
What a fun job.
Oh, it was the best. It was so much fun. And I got to pick the locations. That was cool. Bring in some of my friends to be featured. That was even cooler. I work with mainly, you know, corporate comms groups on their strategy on reaching consumers, because as they're real, like, I am not afraid to ask the tough questions of, is that actually working? And also, maybe that sucks. Maybe that's a bad strategy. The Oklahoma Beef Council, I launched their digital strategy. So I got to work on some really cool commercials with an NBA player. That was pretty fun. Got to concept and direct those. And then I work with some pretty fun clients. So when cancer happened this year, I did have to let a few clients go because, you know, cancer. But I do get to work with some fun people that you might know or might have heard of. Derek Josie is my favorite dairy farmer in Oregon.
Yep.
I'm kind of behind the scenes of helping him strategically fact check all of the things. I adore working with him because nothing he puts out is, he's texted someone and someone, me, has read like a 70-page document somewhere to make sure it's accurate, you know, right. It's factual. Yeah. You know, I just do a lot of random things professionally. But then on top of that, I launched a course, and the course, basically, it's treat your life like a business. So what I found was there are all of these humans who spend so much time doing things that they don't like, paying bills, paying doctors, organizing their life, making sure that they've left a legacy behind. And by legacy, I mean, okay, think about something from this, like, very simplistic. Say your grandma passes away and she has a dresser full of jewelry and it means nothing to you because you don't know that that's a ring that she purchased on a trip when she was 32 years old. And so it's all of these tips and tricks to how, you know, simple things like open a family email and make sure all your medical receipts go to one location. So when you're doing taxes at the end of the year, just open that email address and download all the receipts, to how to leave a family legacy. And so I launched that course basically just saying, this is how I run my life because I got cancer. And this is how, you know, having cancer is a full-time job in itself on top of having a full-time job and being part of a family. And so I made that available for anyone who wants to purchase it on my website. And then, of course, I have the t-shirt shop, which are all designs by me or other rural designers. Also, I launched another business in December because, of course, I don't have enough things going on. It's called Brand Camp. I'm a co-business owner, and the whole purpose of Brand Camp is taking all of the knowledge and all of our experience working on the national and international level as corporate communicators and taking that to rural America for small business owners and helping them launch websites with minimal resources and getting all of our time. And it is the coolest concept because we pack like a week and a half worth of time into 3 days. So we start at 9 a.m. and we don't go to sleep until like the last computer is shut every night. And we don't leave until everyone has launched their website.
Paint a better picture of that, Brooke, because it's not just putting people in like a hotel conference room, at folding tables and, you know, sit here and look at a projector screen for hours on end. Like, this is distinctly differently dynamic based on what I've seen.
So we've all been to what Elizabeth described as that harsh overhead lighting, uncomfortable tables, bad Wi-Fi, terrible snack bar. And so what Dana and I do is we find the coolest locations that inspire your creativity. And maybe you're sitting in a couch, maybe you're sitting on the floor, maybe you're pacing the room as we're doing a presentation. And the entire goal is to teach someone how to fish. So I know for a lot of small business owners, they make a huge investment for someone to help them build a website, and then they can't access the website and they don't know how to navigate it and to change things. Change small things like change a phone number, change the copy. And so we teach everyone from start to finish how to operate every part of their website. And we're also giving them all of our strategic communicator knowledge. So for the last one, for example, while it's specifically about building a website, this base camp version of our camp, there were people changing their entire business structure because they had one-on-one access to us and they were taking advantage of, oh, maybe there's a more efficient way to run my business so I can prioritize what makes sense. And I know more than anyone how important that is, because when you get cancer, you don't stop working because the bills are still rolling in. And so whatever you can do to make things efficient, whether it's to scale later or to be prepared in case the unthinkable happens, that's what we are passionate about. So while we've worked with corporate teams our entire careers, Brand Camp gives us the opportunity to work in very distinct rural America and make a really significant impact. And it's really fun. So that's a bonus.
I got the t-shirt for you.
You're back here designing t-shirts?
For one your time camp, at Brand Camp.
That one time at Brand Camp.
Damn it.
Yeah.
I'm done. No. Damn.
Yes. She
beat you to
that one time at Brand Camp.
I think Farm for Profit needs to go to Brand Camp.
Well, I was just going to say that too. You know, when do we get our own fact checker? How big do we have to be to get our own fact checker?
Yes, everyone needs one. Everyone needs one.
That's cool. Well, this has been an exciting journey in our conversation, but I don't want to close it out, but I want to go back to some of the comments you made right away in the beginning. And not that we glanced over them, but for our listeners' perspective, for those still listening, your daughter is almost 3.
She turned 3 on July 22nd.
And how much, Corey, do you remember from when you were 3?
Very little, if any. Maybe getting bit in the face by a dog.
If I graduate to heaven tomorrow, my baby won't remember me. Period. She will remember pictures of me. She'll remember the stories other people tell. And my biggest fear is that people only tell her the good stuff. They'll put me on a pedestal because that's so easy to do when people graduate to heaven. And can you imagine, it's already hard to be a girl today? Could you imagine growing up thinking your mom's perfect? Because I am not. I am so not perfect. I am the opposite of that. But mostly she won't remember me. And we spend every day together. She is just a mini me in a blonde-haired, curly-haired body, you know? And she won't remember me. But I'm going to fight like hell, so maybe she can.
Absolutely. And where I wanted to connect that with is there's a TikTok trend going around right now that has the voiceover sound of farmers, people saying, you see me in the fancy machinery. I'm driving the, whenever you see me, I am operating big equipment. I'm playing with large toys, but what you don't see is the sacrifices that I make, the mornings that I leave and don't know what time I'll be home, the events of my kids that I miss. And that's still a stereotype. That's still an anticipated result of our listeners in agriculture. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be that way. And again, perspective that Brooke has, and I want our listeners to have, is go to the baseball game. Go to the kids' concert, even though the band sounds terrible. Go.
Just show up.
You won't appreciate how good they are when they get good because you didn't know where they started.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'll tell you that. So I had my big scan this week, and one of my best friends, Hannah, she lives about 2.5 hours away, and she just showed up. She just showed up and she just said, I'm just going to hang out with you until you get your results. I'm just going to sit here. We don't have to do anything. You don't even have to talk to me. I'm just going to be in the room. And honestly, that meant more than anything, just showing up. So can you imagine what it feels like to be a 6-year-old and your dad parks the tractor? Gosh.
Right.
Huge.
That's a good life lesson there.
Yeah. I had a conversation at banking school last week with a fellow classmate on the patio about one of her friends that her friend's husband had developed seizures. And nobody could figure out why it was happening. But he's also in agriculture. And so it was dangerous because he'd be combining and he'd have one. you're operating a large piece of equipment, let alone driving a truck down the highway. You know, just they couldn't diagnose what was going on. And she said over and over to her friend, "How can I help you? You know, I can be here to help." And that was a difficult question to answer. The friend didn't know what to say, and literally she did what Hannah did. She just showed up. Just hung out.
Yeah.
Just was there. It didn't matter if it was brought you a coffee or went about it, but just being there for people. And like you said, for my 6-year-old daughter, for me to show up at her softball game, yeah, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I got a couple things here. We talked about your foundation earlier.
Mm-hmm.
How do people go and find that? How do they donate? How do we do that?
Ruralgoneurban.org.
And then you can get donations.
Yep, you can donate directly online. And we are currently in the application process of receiving our nonprofit status because we are starting a foundation from scratch. So hopefully we will have that official by the end of the year.
I'm going to go ahead and spend Tanner's money for the podcast.
Absolutely.
And we're going to donate some monies to that.
Absolutely.
It sounds like they might be at your next brand camp too. So
if we get Tanner away from all his stuff.
Or maybe you should host one in Iowa.
Ooh.
Oh, Dana is actually from Iowa. We would love to have one in Iowa. We need a location. So if you know send it my way.
How big do we need?
I'll send you the last place that we had, but it needs to sleep quite a few people. It needs to be creative. It needs to have excellent Wi-Fi. Top tier.
Yep, I got 4 bedrooms.
Perfect.
I thought you were a banker, living in a banker house. Big mansion.
4 bedrooms.
Oh.
I'm a banker. I conservatively have purchased a house. The other thing about what I had seen and heard in your latest Instagram post and what you guys have going on is, in efforts to live life to the fullest, you've always wanted to take your daughter to her first concert.
Yes.
But you
get, please ask me. Yes.
You get to throw her her own concert.
I'm working on it. So, yes, I have a venue completely donated. They can house up to 15,000 people in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Oh. Any of my rural people in the central part of the United States is maybe heard of the tumbleweed, which is really awesome. The thing about when we made this announcement, the artists had kind of already made their concert dates for the year. So we're hoping to have it at the beginning of 2022. So stand by for updates. I will announce online, but we have some record labels super interested, and I just throw a concert. So do you guys remember your first concert?
Yeah,
I think
Garth Brooks.
What?
Yeah.
I can't remember if my first one was Big and Rich or if it was Joe Walsh.
No, my aunt took me. I used to watch Garth Brooks. She used to do the televised concerts, and I'd get all dressed up.
Yeah,
in my
had him on VHS.
And my black cowboy boots and my black cowboy hat, and I would dance.
Your Mo Betta shirt?
Yeah, I would dance. I'd have the button up and everything. And I loved them so much that my aunt got me, when he came to the State Fair in, I don't know, mid-90s or something like that, we went, and I remember that.
I love that so much. Who was yours, Elizabeth?
I'm trying to think. So I am the product of parents that were concert junkies. And so I probably went to more rock and roll concerts as like a 10-year-old than any 10-year-old probably should.
Nice.
And continue to do so today.
That explains a lot.
Nice. But no, the first music you owned, you will appreciate this. It was a Reba McEntire cassette that you had to turn over. And I remember I played that one until it just, you run
didn't
through
rewind
the,
anymore.
Yeah, until it didn't rewind anymore. People don't even know what cassettes are anymore.
Right.
So Reba was also my first concert, she was my first concert. And so music is such, I know for so many people, music is just integral. Like, it's so important. And so for Elsie and I, like, you know, we talked about earlier, we watch CMT every morning. We have dance parties. My child is always singing, always singing. Her current favorite song is Jingle Bells. She believes that she's going to have a Christmas birthday party. I love that for her. I am allergic to the sun, so maybe it will snow in July. Fingers crossed. But a concert came through this idea of all of the things when they tell you the cancer is in your neck and your ribs and your pelvis and your lungs and your spine, your thing, all you can think about is all of the things you're about to miss. And all I could think about was the important things, like the first time she gets her heart broken, or the first time she has a really crappy boss, you know, like the first time she really needs her mom to help her navigate stuff. And I was having a conversation with a friend and I was like, I don't know, maybe I could take her to her first concert instead. And she said, no, let's just throw her one. And what a novel idea. How cool would that be? Could you imagine how embarrassed you would be as like a 19-year-old and your icebreaker question is like, oh, my mom threw me a whole concert. It would be like equal parts pride and embarrassment. And I would love that journey for her.
Yeah. That would be great.
And no one would even know the bands anymore because it would have been like 20 years ago.
Right.
That'd be great. It'd be great for future Elsie.
Absolutely. That's good.
Yeah.
We know that we are not the best interviewers and we don't want to miss out on anything. So is there anything that you can think of that we should have asked you that our listeners would gain value from?
Gosh, that's a deep question. I don't know. I feel like I've got all kinds of wisdom I should throw your way, but mostly my wisdom comes by way of like quoting terrible movies that no one watches anymore, like Wayne's World. Two things. One, if I were to impart any wisdom to anyone who's listening to your amazing podcast, that is, you don't need permission to live like a Tim McGraw song. You can live today like you're dying. You just can choose to live that through that perspective. And the second thing is, don't take life so seriously. Like, no one cares about your professional resume. No one cares. You just work on your personal resume. Okay, her resume is awesome. So, like, maybe, I don't know, she's kind of a big deal. And I don't mean that sarcastically. Like, she's, like, a really big deal. When people know that I know her, they're like, how? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, we get that all the time, too.
It's not the case.
Yeah, so stop. Like, nothing in life is that serious. It just can't be. What's the point, you know?
I've got one to stem off of that because honestly, you can't even ask like probably what's the best advice she's been given because she's given us all the best. Like she has all the advice.
Oh, she gets all the bad advice.
I have one that if, for God's sakes, if this thing comes back and sure. you've purchased, you know, all these gifts for your daughters and daughter and all that, like, what do you want to say to them? What, I mean, this is obviously something that's going to stay around forever until we're all dead. It'll be somewhere in the metaverse. What do you want to say to your daughter? What do you want to say to the people you love or just anyone in general?
I didn't choose to leave you. I'm not in a better place because the better place is with you. And I'm always proud of you no matter what you choose. There is no right way or wrong way, and there's no way you could mess up. I always think you're the coolest damn person, period.
Awesome.
I don't know. That's it.
That's good.
I just
love unconditionally, support everyone. I think it was a when you reached out, when you shared my TikTok on your Instagram, and I believe you said, I'm not going to quote it word for word, but you said, don't ever stop making TikToks. And you don't know me. You didn't know me. You didn't follow me. I didn't follow you, you know, but you were just bringing up, you know, just support everyone. A rising tide raises all ships. You were living it. You were living it then. You're living it now. I love it.
Thanks. Thank you. Also, don't stop making TikToks.
I took a little hiatus there for a while. Sometimes the pressure is to perform.
The pressure is hard.
Yeah.
The pressure is hard. And you know what? Advocating or telling your story or whatever they're saying in commodity boardrooms these days. And the truth is, forget the algorithms and just be real. Because I'm not doing anything online that I am an expert. I am a strategic communicator. I don't even follow my own rules. And do you know what happens? Real connection. just real authentic community, people sending me hundreds of messages a day telling me that they're praying for me. And I know they are. They're not just saying it. They're really part of this today's celebration. They're part of it. And I think that's what's cool about social media is, yeah, there's a lot of riffraff, but there's also a lot of cool stuff, and let that motivate us.
Cheers to that.
I agree. And I don't have anything prophetic to end the episode with. This has been, it's been a pleasure. The first time that I have cried during a podcast.
Sorry.
No, thank you. I mean, it's just bringing real to life. Mm-hmm.
It's the real, real.
It's the real, real.
I want to thank real, you. Real. I just want to thank you for coming on, because you said it in the middle of the show that you only do things that are worth it, and you're here with us.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that means
I think you guys are awesome, and you gave me Elizabeth. Like, this is great.
That is just, this was like not planned at all. This is just the universe coming together and being
fate
perfect.
Has a funny way of doing things like that. I'm a big believer in
yes,
it.
Yes,
so.
It does.
Thank you guys. When I texted her the schedule, she did not know it was you as Brooke. She knew we had a Brooke at 6:30, but did not know it was you.
I love that so much.
Yeah, so, absolutely. So
I'm so glad we could be the first to know your good news. I'm sure it's going to be out before we release the show, but this is.
What would you ask of people? I know that you've given a lot of, like I said, prophetic advice and such throughout this, but you've also been pretty keen on telling folks what maybe not to do. So if there's someone that's in that situation of being in a supporting role, you know, from your vantage point, what makes a good support system?
It's exhausting being in the support role. And what's exhausting is, like, just because I'm celebrating today doesn't mean I stop taking chemo tomorrow. Like, I'm on chemo indefinitely. So I will always feel like I'm on chemo, which feels like donkey balls. Like, it's not a good time. Like, I'm not having a good time. So I think when you're a support role, it's don't forget that someone's sick, because it's really easy to do.
Yeah.
No, that's great. It. That's really good. So if we haven't said it enough, listeners want to follow your journey. How do they follow you? Where do they find you? What do they do to track you down?
You can find me everywhere, Rural Gone Urban, which is Rural Gone Urban. That's when Elizabeth and I found each other. That's my single in the city post-college handle that I've stuck onto forever. So you can find me everywhere at Rural Gone Urban. And I'm most active on Instagram.
Awesome. It has.
Soon that one time at Brand Camp will be here in Iowa.
Yes. I hope so. Yeah. I'd love to come to Iowa, especially in harvest. My daughter would love to be part of that.
Oh, that'd be fun.
There you go.
We'll consider it an open invitation.
Yeah. You can come ride in the Bushlight Combine when you're up here too. So.
Perfect. Yep. Okay. Well, thank you guys so much. Hopefully I missed bedtime, so mom is off duty.
No, thank you again. And listeners, we appreciate you hanging around for this episode, and hopefully you found as much value in it as we did sitting here having a conversation with Brooke. So listeners, thank you again for sticking around, and until next time, what do you say, Corey?
Crack a Dole Distributing Exile beer. You deserve it.
Remember, if you aren't farming for profit, you won't be farming for long.